Welcome back to Cool Science Radio. I'm Lynn Ware Peak. Well, we thought we'd stay in space for the remaining moments of the show this morning. Wanted to bring you back to an interview we did several months ago with author Jeffrey Kluger. Kluger is a longtime science editor and reporter for Time magazine. He wrote a book looking back 50 years later at the first moon mission of Apollo 8. His book is titled Apollo 8, The Thrilling Story of the First Mission to the Moon. Jeffrey Kluger, welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Jeffrey, you call it an equal parts fearless and reckless mission, ingenious and a wild crapshoot, on the other hand. If I were an astronaut, if I were Frank Borman, Jim Lovell, or Bill Anders, who you say signed on immediately, I don't know if I'd be there. What was it about these three men who said, yeah, we'll participate in this wild crapshoot?
Well, it's a very good question, and some of it speaks to the temperament of all astronauts. When I was, or for that matter, firefighters and police officers and combat military people, when I was writing Apollo 13 with Jim Lovell, I asked him, you know, did it ever occur to you before any of your flights when you were sitting in your living room looking around at your beautiful home in Houston that, you know, if this doesn't go right, I'm never going to see this room again? And Jim kind of laughed, and he said, no, if you thought that way, you wouldn't go. And I think that's what they all brought into it. Frank Borman, the commander of Apollo 8, was a military man. They were all military men, but Frank was just deeply patriotic. He signed on to the military to fight for his country, and when he didn't get a position in a hot war, he was in the Cold War, and he was going to fly to the moon and beat the Russians there. This would be his act of patriotic service. Lovell took a somewhat different approach. Lovell, as I always say, was never quite so happy as when he was in space, and never so happy in space as when he was doing something outrageously different. So for Lovell, Apollo 8 was a grand adventure. He was ecstatic to do it. And Anders was a man who loved machines. He remains that way. Anders loved the engineering. He loved the Apollo Command Module. He loved the Lunar Module. He loved knowing every rivet and line of code in those machines. So he was happy for the chance to take them out on a shakedown cruise and be part of this crew that went to the moon. They all knew they were also making history as the first people to go to the moon. But for them, these were jobs they were trained and they were innately equipped to do.
Yeah. Hey, take us back to August of 1968. What was going on in the country? And NASA, known for very conservative flight schedules, they accelerated their first moon mission by 2 years to put Apollo 8 in lunar orbit just 4 months later. Tell us about what was going on in the country and at NASA.
Well, it was a terrible year for America. It was a terrible year for the world. In some ways, it was the most traumatic year in modern history. This was the year that, of course, the U.S. suffered the assassinations of Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King, that so many cities were torn by riots. There were riots at the Democratic Convention. The Tet Offensive in Vietnam had begun that year. The Soviet Union had invaded Prague. There were riots in Mexico City, riots in Paris. The world was just coming unbuttoned. And things were no better at NASA. That had been the great shining hope of the U.S. for so long. But the year before, the Apollo 1 fire had occurred on a launch pad in Florida, killing astronauts Gus Grissom, Ed White, and Roger Chaffee. That basically brought the entire space program to a halt. The Apollo spacecraft had to be rebuilt. The lunar module that would take astronauts from lunar orbit down to the surface of the moon wasn't nearly ready. The Saturn V rocket was causing all kinds of headaches. And here we were, just a year and a third away from the end of the decade when President Kennedy had promised we would have human beings on the moon. It was at that rate going to take NASA at least 2 years and maybe three to get people onto the lunar surface. And in that summer, a few very smart and very visionary people at NASA realized that if they fixed the machines properly, if they assigned the right people to the job, and if they caught a few lucky breaks, they could get three men into a spacecraft and into lunar orbit just 16 weeks later in time to orbit by Christmas Eve to kickstart the program and get men onto the surface of the moon sometime within the following year. And they did it. They took all the right chances. They did all the right, they made all of the right corrections in the hardware. They trained all the right people, and they got that spacecraft off the ground and the men into lunar orbit when they said they were going to.
The Mercury program and the Gemini program were all within the Earth's atmosphere. So this is the first time that we have left the Earth's atmosphere in going to moon for the lunar orbit. And something that was unexpected, but at the same time, very scary. And that was, they thought that there might have been some radiation poisoning to Frank Borman, who became space sick for the first time. I mean, he had never been sick in an airplane before. So they were concerned that radiation may have played a part. And they considered, not the people in space, but back at NASA, they considered canceling this. Tell us about what happened during that part of the mission.
Yeah, that was something nobody had factored into their thinking. The Mercury and Gemini spacecraft were so tiny that the astronauts never got out of their seats. Well, if you don't get out of your seat, as we all know from feeling motion sick, you at least don't get that head-swimming feeling that makes things worse. In the Apollo spacecraft, they could get out, and they could float around. So when Borman opened his seat restraints and got out, he immediately was overcome by this sense of motion sickness. The other astronauts were as well, but it wasn't quite as bad. But nobody expected that. So the fear was that in heading out of Earth orbit, remember, the planet is surrounded by the Van Allen radiation belts, a little bit like the breakers that surround an island and crash into the island. In order to get out to the moon, you have to cross those breakers. So the fear was that Borman had become poisoned by radiation, and if he was poisoned, the other two astronauts would probably be as well. Now, on the one hand, it was true that the Van Allen belts have only about as much radiation as a chest X-ray. On the other hand, it's a six-hour chest X-ray because that's how long it takes to get across the belts. So there was a real danger of this. As it turned out, it was not radiation poisoning. The other alternative was that it was a stomach virus. It wasn't that either. And within 12 hours or so, he began to feel better. But there was a call. The flight surgeon, the doctor, actually did say, it's my recommendation that we scrub this mission. But that was his job to make the conservative call, and he was overruled by by people on the ground and by the astronauts themselves.
Wow. Jeffrey, you co-wrote the book on that became the movie on Apollo 13, along with Jim Lovell. And I'm just wondering, to contrast the two missions, this Apollo 8 book, it's a story that hasn't been told yet. Why hasn't it been told, and what attracted you to the story?
There were a lot of things that attracted me to the story. First, to reveal my age a bit, I was a 14-year-old boy at the time, and, you know, 14-year-old boys aren't given to a lot of sentimental emotion, but I was moved almost to tears by the magnificence of this mission and by the Genesis reading on Christmas Eve from lunar orbit. So I was touched by this as it was happening. I also felt that this is history that was untold and that deserved to be told. It was something like what attracted me to Apollo 13. You know, we all know the story of Apollo 11, the lunar landing. The first lunar landing. We all know the story of John Glenn orbiting the Earth, or becoming the first American to orbit the Earth, or Alan Shepard becoming the first American in space. But people didn't know about Apollo 13 quite as much because NASA considered it a failure, so they buried it. Mm-hmm. And they didn't know about Apollo 8 quite as well, or they did for about 7 months after it happened, but then it became eclipsed by the story of Apollo 11. In some respects, I always thought Apollo 8 was the larger, grander, more significant mm-hmm. mission, and a lot of other astronauts and a lot of astrophysicists and historians do as well, because this represented the first time we peeled away from the gravity well of Earth, sailed across the true waters of deep space, and surrendered to the gravity field of another body.
And that was Jeffrey Kluger. He wrote the book Apollo 8, The Thrilling Story of the First Mission to the Moon. He joined us on Cool Science Radio several months ago. Thanks for tuning in to Cool Science Radio. We want to thank our underwriters, San Francisco Design, Berkshire Hathaway, Home Services, Utah Properties, Nexus IT, the Habitat for Humanity Restore, the Natural History Museum of Utah, and Park City Mountain.